Hey, I want to encourage you with this. The one thing about RCC, you need to know, we are about the community. And with that, we're about expansion. We're always trying to win more people to Jesus because that's what Jesus told us to do. And train believers to become disciples and unleash those disciples into our community and into the world. That is who RCC is. RCC, at the very beginning, it's always been about making room. And if it wasn't for RCC to make room, most of you, like 90% of you, would not be here. And because people have made room for us, it's time for us to make room for more. And so on October 9th, everybody say October 9th on the count of three. One, two, three. October 9th, here it is right here. We got three services coming. We got 8:30, 10, and 11:30. And I just want to give a big old praise God for how he's growing our local church here at RCC. It is incredible. So we're going to need all hands on deck. We're going to need your help. We're going to tell you really soon how you can help us continue to make room for more. Because it's all about bringing more people to Jesus. That's why you have air in your lungs right now. That's your mission, all right, is winning people to Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, that's happening. And we're seeing it every single week here at RCC. Winning people, training believers, and unleashing those believers who are now disciples, followers of Jesus Christ into our community. So we're excited about that. We're also excited about our series right now called Design For. And sometimes God has me preach on things that I'm really bad at. You know, people come up to me and go, you know, Pastor, thank you so much for that message. You really spoke to me. I'm like, I don't know about you, but it spoke to me. That was for me. I don't know if it was about for you. And so today is kind of a hard lesson for me. Let me open up by telling you a story. In Tacoma, Washington, newspaper carried a story about Tattoo the Basset Hound. Tattoo did not intend to go on running an evening run, but his owner shut the dog's leash in the car door and took off for a drive with Tattoo still out of the vehicle. Tattoo had no choice. Motorcycle cop Terry Phillips was on patrol when he noticed a passing vehicle seemed to have something dragging behind it. The officer said that the Basset Hound was just picking him up and putting him down as fast as he could. Probably looks something like this on the screen, all right? He chased the car, the cop did, to a stop, and Tattoo was rescued, but not before the dog had reached speeds up to 20 to 25 miles per hour. And even rolled over a few times. Tattoo somehow survived and made a complete healing, but the owner said that Tattoo seldom asked to go for a walk anymore. Wonder why. So let me ask you, all right? Let me ask you. How many of you feel like you're picking them up and putting them down as quick as you possibly can? Go ahead and raise your hand. You feel like you're picking them up and putting them down as fast as you can. How many of you guys believe that, but you're so tired you can't even raise your hand? Just go ahead and admit it right now. You're so worn out. You're like, I can't do it. You know, and sometimes we talk about our speed of life and our rapid pace. So we try to, here's a dark secret about that. Let me just go ahead and tell you about our frantic lifestyles. Like, we kind of talk about it, but it's almost like not so much a complaint as much as it is a boast. Like, you know, it's kind of an ego thing to say this. Man, I'm just slammed. I'm so busy. I've never been busier. And I'm not sure if it's really a complaint sometimes. And the typical response to that is from someone else who says something like this: oh, that's a good problem to have. You know, I guess it beats the alternative. And so we wear kind of this, you know, lack of rest and foregoing vacations and skipping time off like a badge of honor at times in life. I had one buddy of mine say this: I haven't had a day off in months. I can't remember the last time I took a vacation. And he said that months before his life fell apart. I heard about a weary-looking pastor who boasted to his elders one time. He says, I don't take a day off. The devil never takes a day off. To which the elder said to the pastor, Pastor, it seems that you could find a better role model. Well, it turns out when it comes to rest, there is a better role model out there. For the past several weeks, we've been trying to figure out and understand why in the world are we designed and how are we designed. And so we dive right into Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And consequently, we understand today that we are designed for rest. A mom one time was studying with her four kids about each day of the creation story, about why in the world, like what happened on each and every day. And so they get to the seventh day, and the youngest of the four raises his hand and says, "Mom, I know what happened on the seventh day." And the mom says, "What happened?" He says, "On the seventh day, God got arrested." And let me tell you, that kid is not the first one to totally confuse arrested with rest. I ran across a story a few years ago about the headline read this: "Housewife welcomes jail time." Listen to this story. What would cause an innocent woman to welcome time behind bars? According to Maria Bronner, all it takes is a lazy husband and demanding children. Bronner's husband is unemployed, and she supports her three children by cleaning people's homes. And even without a job, her husband managed to run up quite a number of unpaid parking tickets. She married a winner, obviously. The bill total of these unpaid parking tickets was $5,000. Mr. Bronner kept the tickets a secret from his wife, but as the owner of the vehicle, Mrs. Bronner is responsible. Maria Bronner cannot pay the fine unless her husband can come up with the money. She will spend 3 months behind bars in a small town in Germany. Maria Bronner's reaction to this was this: "I've had enough of scraping together a living for the family," she said. "As long as I can get food and a hot shower every day, I don't mind being sent to jail. I can finally get some rest and relaxation." So the police reported that they went and showed up to arrest Maria Bronner. "And she seemed really happy to see us," they said. "And repeatedly thanked us for arresting her." While most people are taken into custody, kind of hang their heads in shame, Miss Bronner smiled and waved as she was driven off to the jail. The best thing happened to her. Listen to me. When the only thing we can think of to get rest is to go to jail, we probably need to go back and figure out how we were designed. And so, let's start from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 says this: "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he," what, church? "He rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it," he what? "He rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Now on the seventh day, this is a big deal, right? Big deal here. Here's why. It's the only day that God calls holy. It's the only day out of seven that God blesses. Perhaps you've never noticed this before, but in every one of the 6 days of creation, there's a summary statement at the end of the day. Here it is: "There was evening and there was morning on the first day. And there was evening and there was morning on the second day." It just goes on and on and on it goes. But when it gets to the seventh day, there's no summary statement. It doesn't say that there was evening and morning. There's no closure on the seventh day. It's left open-ended. It's like, why is that? I think it's because the seventh day is still going on. It reminds me of when we're playing baseball or softball or kickball, and the ball goes out of the baseline, but then it comes back in into the diamond before it gets to first base or third base, and someone yells, "It's still in play." Well, that's what's going on. The Sabbath is still in play. And I think it's because the seventh day is still going on. God wants us to live in and out of the Sabbath day of rest, so much so that the author of Hebrews in the New Testament grabs a hold of this, and he says in Hebrews chapter 4, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore," look at this, "make every effort," it's going to take effort, it's going to be a discipline, "make every effort to enter that rest." One writer says this: God wants us to join him in the seventh day rest. He wants us to live in and proceed in life from a place of rest. This is huge, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Now, God wanted us to live from a place of rest. It's something that's introduced early on in the Bible. So God brings to Moses these Ten Commandments, and one of the Ten Commandments Look what it says. This is commandment number 4, starting verse 8, says this. Remember the what, church? The Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, neither male or female servants, nor your animals, nor your foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the what? The Sabbath day, and made it holy. Have you ever noticed this? When you look at the Ten Commandments, have you ever noticed the word count? Which of the Ten Commandments gets like the most airplay? Which of the Ten Commandments gets the most space? Murder? No. Adultery? No. Stealing? No. You would think it'd be one of those, like one of the big dogs, but no. Those commandments are shocking in their brevity. Don't take another man's life, 5 words. Don't take another man's wife, 5 words. But when it comes to the topic of rest, God uses a whole paragraph. It's the only command, by the way, that's stated from a positive proclamation rather than a negative prohibition. In other words, all the other Ten Commandments, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. But when it comes to rest, God says, you shall remember. Why? And God's command for his people to work and rest on the seventh day, he's saying this, it's time to be like me. You're supposed to be like your creator. I rested. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, scripture says. And on the seventh day, he rested. God's message is crystal clear, if you'll just have eyes to see it. If creation didn't crash when God rested, it won't crash if you do. We were designed in the image of the one who rested, who trusted in what he'd already spoken. He's commanded us to observe a day of ceasing, a day of stopping, a day of resting. He's called us to join him at rest, to trust him. He's the creator, he's the provider, and thank God, it's not all up to us. Now let's dig a little deeper into this historically. When this was given to the Israelites, they were just coming out of 400 years of slavery. Now think about that. That's almost twice the amount of time that we've been a country. 400 years of slavery. All they did every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, all they did was work. They never stopped. They never rested. Pharaoh was in charge of Egypt, and he was kind of viewed as a god, and he was worshipped as such. He declared that the Israelites were non-persons whose only purpose on this planet was to work and to produce for him and for his glory. But Pharaoh's oppression over the Israelites was broken by the power of God. And then God gave the Israelites a new identity, that their worth, their value was not in what they did, but whose they are. They are children of God, sons and daughters upon the living God, and he has placed his grace and his love upon them. But let's be honest, we're not that much unlike the Israelites as Americans. Many of us remain under a harsh and controlling taskmaster, a Pharaoh, if you will, who lives in our heads, telling us that we can't stop, that we can't rest, that we are what we do. And their only value that we give is to produce and to achieve. And our lifestyle and our rhythm has been shaped more by our culture than our Creator, whose image we are made. And therefore, we are worse for wear. I was intrigued by a story in a group from the Netherlands. They were trying to break the domino record. They were trying to get 4 million dominoes. Think about that, 4 million dominoes. And so all of a sudden, they're sitting there building it. Days and days go by. And wouldn't you know it, somebody left a window open and a bird came in. And the bird came in and its feathers clipped one domino. And that one domino fell over. And immediately, 25,000 dominoes fall over. Why didn't more fall over? Well, it didn't eradicate all of them. Why? Because the operator, the organizer, had placed, listen to this, 750 gaps in the 4 million dominoes. So that way, not all of them would fall over at one time if one domino fell over. 750 gaps I think there's something to be learned from that. And there's something to be said about building in some space and having a Sabbath safety check built into the patterns of your rhythms of life. You see, all too often people have everything knocked down in their lives because they have no Sabbath margin. I mean, many of you, many of us, we just run, and then we wonder why we're so frazzled and wonder why we're so distant from the Lord and why we can't hear from Him and why do I not have any energy and why do I have such a bad attitude and why am I have so much anxiety in my life? Well, this may be getting to it. One reason we need to be designed to rest is this: we will preserve our limited resources. There's incredible physiological, sociological implication that not being a regular rhythm of rest in our lives can cause huge problems. God created you with limits. And to routinely ignore those limits is to invite disaster in your life. Think about it this way. You have a vehicle, and if you just kept driving your vehicle and never stopped for gas, what would happen? I mean, if you have a vehicle, which you probably do, and you never got that thing tuned up and checked up on, guess what's going to happen? It's going to break down. Same with you. We have a hard time convincing ourselves that we need to stop until we literally have a breakdown. And many of us have been there. Why do we have to have a breakdown before we can have a breakthrough with the Lord, is a question. After his inoperable brain cancer was diagnosed, his name was Eugene O'Kelly. He was 53 years old, CEO of a major accounting firm. He wrote a guidebook on his plan to die because he was going to die soon. It's called Chasing Daylight. And Mr. O'Kelly is described this way: as controlling, privileged, powerful man who sometimes felt like an eagle on top of a mountain until his astonishment, one day the mountain just disappeared. And he says these words. He says, "What if I hadn't worked so hard? What if I had actually used the pulpit of my position to be a role model for balance? Had I done so intentionally, who's to say that besides having more time with family, I would not also have been more focused in my work, more creative, and even more productive?" Mr. O'Kelly died shortly after writing those words, before he could even answer his own question. And it brings up this point right here, and here it is. If you don't understand that you are designed to rest, well, we're most likely going to be laid to rest before our time. When you run so hard, there's a toil that you take on with that. But the fourth commandment is not just about helping preserve ourselves. It's about helping preserve others around us. As leaders in our homes, we really need to set the pace for our homes when it comes to this. For our kids, some of us, man, we make our kids run so hard. And we say yes to everything. And we don't put any limits on our children. We don't put any limits on ourselves. And that's going to wreak havoc into the next generation. I mean, it was so important to God that when Exodus 20, verse 10 was written, he said, hey, make sure your kids take a break. Make sure those servants that work with you take a break. Make sure the foreigners who live among you take a break. He even said, make the animals take a break. And here's why. God expected his people to help one another rest. We have to help one another rest. We need to call each other's schedules out. We need to say, you need to take a day off. You need to take a vacation. We need to speak in the lives of those around us. So rest was a value to the community so that everyone would be in position to honor God, all right, and experience for themselves a life-giving tool and blessing called Sabbath. If we're not intentional about teaching those around us, especially our children, here's what's going to happen. We will unintentionally pass on "you're only as good as your last performance" mentality. And that'll wreak havoc with our children, and it'll sabotage their relationships. A photographer one time was snapping photos of these kids in elementary school. It's photo day. You remember photo day? If you're a parent, sometimes we hear about photo day the day after, which is awesome, right? We're like, ugh. But photo day happens, and this photographer can tell this one girl's kind of high, you know, she's kind of tense. And he kind of makes small talk, kind of ease her up, makes small talk with her. And he says, this little first grade girl, he asks her the question, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And she just kind of snarkily said, "Tired." It's like, where did she learn that from? I wonder. The Sabbath rest was for everyone. God was concerned about preserving the well-being of every living thing. The idea that every person would have an opportunity for a Sabbath rest was important to God, so much so that he attached the death penalty to it in Exodus chapter 31. That's a pretty severe gnat policy, wouldn't you say? I mean, that's pretty intense. Why would he do that? It may be because he knew the lives of people were at stake if they disregarded this principle of Sabbath rest in their lives. And from the look at it in the 21st century, a case could be made that our lives are in peril because we've lost touch with the principle of Sabbath rest. I think about the story in the Atlantic commercial fishing industry that happened not that long ago. Over a 13-day span, three ships, the Adriatic, the Beth Dibab, and the Cape Fear, three ships were lost at sea within a 13-day period. Now, this is a very dangerous industry, so ships lost at sea aren't that like unheard of, but 3 and 13 days was extremely rare. And so they decided to investigate, why did all three of these ships go down in such a short period of time? They investigated, here's what they came up with. Number one, none involved a breach in the integrity of the ships. The hull of the ships was intact, they looked great. All three were captained by people who had 10 years or more experience. So that wasn't a problem, they had experienced captains. All three ships were at the end of their journey. They were less than 15 miles from home. So what happened? Two of the three ships were carrying too much weight, and one was carrying weight improperly. Commercial vessels on the water in early January are often clam boats. A clam trap weighs about 300 pounds totally empty, but when it's full, it weighs 1 ton to 1.5 tons. The Cape Fear and the Adriatic had 10 extra traps on board. They had 10 to 15 tons of excess weight on their ships. Interviewers asked boat captains that fish those waters often the question, here's the question, why would a boat captain completely ignore the limits of his boat and attempt to carry 10 to 15 tons over its weight capacity? And time after time, the question was met with a look and a shoulder shrug. Simply put, this behavior was common practice. These captains did not perceive themselves to be in danger. They were simply doing what they considered normal in their industry. In the same way, let's just put the mirror on us, most of us have no idea the damage our hurried lifestyle is doing to ourselves and to those around us. And God tells you and me, don't ignore your limits. Don't ignore your limits. Regulate a rhythm of rest. And I totally get some of you are going, I can't do this. And I totally get it. That's how I've operated most of my life. When I was a young pastor, I never forget, I was sitting in my office and I was sick, but I was one of those guys that says, I'll never go home. I don't care how sick I am, I never go home. We keep working, we keep going. And I had an elder come in my office, I'll never forget, it's still one of the most humiliating moments of my life. He came in my office and sat down. I said, what's going on, Dan? He said, two words. Go home. I said, what? He said, go home. I said, I got stuff to do. I got to do this. He said, no, you need, listen, this is not an option. Go home. And some of us need that in our lives because we're running ourselves in the ground and to the detriment of not just yourself, but to your family and to your friends and to those closest to your own spiritual life. Number two, we're designed for rest because, look, it'll prioritize what's most important. You see, the Sabbath is more than just about rest. It says it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This is huge. The fourth commandment can involve leisure and like relaxation, but you need to hear me. What's most important is a time for us to draw near to God. Like, you need to make sure that's part of your Sabbath. One wise writer put it this way. He says, we are a people who tend to worship our work. We work at our play, and we play at our worship. And I think it's so true. We tend to worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. And here's the truth of the matter. Restlessness, the restlessness you have in your life right now, is at its root is primarily a spiritual problem. I mean, you spend your time, some of you guys just waste yourselves in your leisure time. You're so worn out, and you don't spend any time with the Lord. And why that's so important is because the Bible says this in the Psalms. Look what it says. My soul find rest in what? Read it with me, church. In who? In God alone. That's where you find rest. And family, we are restless to the extent that we're godless. That's why it's so important that the Sabbath is to the Lord your God. It's to the Lord your God, not away from him. It's not just for our bodies, but it's for our souls. And we're so prone to forgetting about what life is about and who God is and why we're even here and why we're even designed the way we're designed. And the Sabbath command is for us to weekly get our bearings about us, to remember and to reflect on our purpose and why I'm even here. Reminds me of the fighter pilot in the California desert. She's flying and practicing high-speed maneuvers. And all of a sudden, she thought she was taking a steep ascent. But what she did, she turned into a nosedive and crashed right into the ground. She was completely unaware that she was actually flying upside down. She was experiencing vertigo. She was completely unaware and disoriented where the plane was in relation to the ground. And that is why for a pilot to safely fly at high speeds and in bad weather, they have to use instrument panels. And for a pilot is often the only way to get in touch with the reality. And what's true of pilots is also true of you and of me. We're moving at high speeds. And we often have no clue if we're flying right side up or upside down. And in the midst of what we think is actually an ascent, actually can be a descent, and we crash and we burn, and we see people do it all the time around us. Our weekly Sabbath is our instrument panel that puts us in position of what truly is reality. What is reality? In one sense, in living by the fourth commandment may give us a capacity to actually obey all the other commandments. If you take a Sabbath, it may actually help you huge in following the Lord your God. If you look at the commandments, you'll find that the commandment living by the Sabbath is the fourth commandment. And the rest of the commandments after the fourth commandment is all about how you treat one another. And I think God did that on purpose. I believe that the breaking of those other commandments and how you treat other people has often to do with how restless we are, how worn out we are. We speak, we act from a place of exhaustion, from a place of spiritual vertigo, because we never took the time to slow down, to catch our breath, and to find our true north. And listen, your true north is not a place on a map, it is a person. And that person wants to bless you and refresh your soul and give us rest for our bodies. Also, realizing we're designed for rest is important because it'll point others to God. This is huge. There's another way of winning people. We want to win people to God. Here's a great way of doing it. Take a rest. Take a break. In Exodus chapter 34, God would tell the Israelites to observe the Sabbath in seasons of planting and in harvesting. It would demonstrate, he says, to the nations around them that they were dependent not upon their work ability or their ingenuity, but they were dependent upon God's blessing. And that would make a difference to the people around them. Personally, in my opinion, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. In my opinion, that's why a typical Chick-fil-A franchise routinely outsells their competitors by being open 6 days a week instead of 7 days a week like everybody else. Building in a margin to rest before the Lord says the world this: our God is worthy. He is to be put above our work. Our God is to be put above our goals. He's to be put above our obsessions. Our God is worthy to be put above our accomplishments, and that he can be trusted to provide and to care for us. You see, resting means that we are as confident as God is in his own word, that he would make a way as we walk according to his ways. He will make a way. I promise. You take a rest, I promise. He will make a way for that thing you're so concerned about. I'm going to give you a kind of quiz here and see how well you guys know your 80s. What was the award-winning movie in 1980? What was the award-winning movie in 1980? Anybody have a guess? Chariots of Fire. All right, Chariots of Fire. kind of a weird movie to kind of win an award, especially in the culture we live in. There's a great line in it where Eric Little is actually the one who is focused on. He's a son of missionaries from China, and Eric was blessed with great speed. And the phenomenal line is he's talking to his sister. He says, "Jenny, God made me fast, and when I run, I can feel his pleasure." Well, Eric was selected to run for his country in the 1922 Olympics in Paris. However, as his ship was crossing the English Channel, he found out that the race was going to happen on a Sunday, and he believed strongly that Sunday was to the Lord and not to the games. In the face of strong opposition from the English Olympic Committee, after years of training, he decided not to run on Sunday. He knew that not running would bring dishonor to himself, to his country, even to the King of England. But he knew running would bring dishonor to someone even greater than his country, greater than himself or his king, and that is Jesus Christ. And not everyone agreed with Eric's position. And whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it, listen, Eric is very clear who Eric served with his life to the entire world. They all knew who Eric Little served. And you may not have thought about it before, but our commitment to regular rest could be our greatest witness to a weary world. So let me give you some questions to chew on as we close. Number one is this: how much credibility do our lives give to the promise of God's rest? That God will take care of us? That God will be there and he'll care for us, he'll provide for us? So how much credibility do our lives give to the promise of God's rest? Number two, can people witness the reality of God in our lives by how we're responding to the stresses in our lives? I mean, are you taking a break? And is that shown because you're so wound up and it's showing the world that you're not really experiencing God's rest? You don't really believe in that enough to take a break, and so you're so stressed out? How about this one? Can someone who is not walking with God look at our life and see rest available that they don't have? Are they seeing a different pattern in our lives that we don't go to the same beat as everyone else because we go to the beat of the Lord? Because the rest in our lives, even in the midst of stress, is so clear through us. I think about a young Jewish boy, his name is Mordecai. Mordecai, his parents wanted him to learn the Torah and learn about God and know Hebrew. And he just kind of pushed against it. And didn't want to do it. His parents tried to persuade him. They even sent him to counseling. That was all futile. And finally, they heard about a Jewish rabbi who was wise, who was warm, and who was a spiritual guide. And the parents are sitting there in front of that rabbi, and they're telling, you know, what's going on in Mordecai's life. And the rabbi just listened intently without saying a word. The rabbi got up, picked up Mordecai, and put him in his lap, and he just held him. He just held little Mordecai tight. So much so that finally Mordecai's tense body just kind of released. And Mordecai was there against the rabbi's chest, and he could hear the heartbeat, the rhythm of the rabbi's heart just beating. And then without saying a word, the rabbi just gently handed the child back to the parents. And the story goes on and says, from that point on, Mordecai listened to his parents, and he dove into learning the Word of God. Prayer, reading Scripture, worship, solitude, silence, Sabbath rest. None of them save us in and of themselves, but they're all ways to being connected with God so we can hear His heartbeat. That's the only way we can heal our stubborn, defiant, hard, and weary hearts, is to hear the heartbeat of God. We need to begin to draw close and embrace the one who once called himself the Lord of the Sabbath, allowing Jesus to be our Sabbath rest. Will you stand with me at this time? Let's close out by reading Jesus' own words about rest. And I hope that these words will minister to your fast-beating heart and slow it down a little bit. Will you read these words with me? Read them together. 1, 2, 3. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't that sound good? Let's go to God in prayer. Let me pray over you. Father God, I know that many of us are pulled in so many different projects, in different directions and demands and achievements. And may you give us insight and desire today to step away from the whirlwind that is outside of us and even inside of us. Heal our tired and weary spirits, allowing the wisdom that comes from rest in you to flow deep inside of each and every single one of us. So, Father, we all just take a deep breath right now. Everyone just breathe in on the count of three. One, two, three. Just breathe in. And breathe out. Father, we just need to stop for this moment. So after we miss your presence, Lord, often we miss your presence because we're preoccupied. Grant us the power to pause each day, each week, to rest in the arms of love. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who is our rest. And the whole church said, amen. If there's anyone who can be a blessing, you were up here, we'd love to pray with you, whatever it may be. You guys online, hit the request prayer button right now. We'd love to pray about you as well. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ, make your way up here. We're going to sing a song that God is a way maker. I don't know what you're worried about, but once you take a break and just rest and allow God to make a way in that situation, let's worship him right now. If we could pray about for you in any way, why don't you come right here, right now, as we worship him.